I don't promote movies very often, but it's a movie worth watching. So let's go ahead and dismiss kids to kids church. And we are going to wrap up chapter 6 today. After today, we'll be two-thirds of the way through the Sermon on the Mount. And it's only taken us a year. And we're going to do one verse today. If you're not familiar with the scriptures or you're relatively new to you know, trying to pursue a life of faith, the Sermon on the Mount is the first recorded teaching of Jesus. It's the longest recorded teaching of Jesus. And today, around the world, millions of people will listen to the Sermon on the Mount, or they'll listen to someone teach on the Sermon on the Mount. And so it's, you know, for 2,000 years, that's been the case. People around the world have read this thing called the Sermon on the Mount. We are going to wrap up today. The longest part of the Sermon on the Mount is where Jesus talked about the subject of worry. So one more week on worry. If you haven't had enough on worry yet, we're going to give you one more lesson on worry today as he wraps up chapter 6. So let's all stand together. And you guys know, if you've been around, you know that the reality is you don't take a scripture out of context. You always take a scripture in the middle of all the rest of it. So we're going to do just one verse today, but it's found in a context. So it'll be up on the screen. Let's read this out loud together. And there we go. Let's read this out loud together. Don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And then the last verse, here we go. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. There's a scary verse, huh? So here's the context. Again, we looked at over the last few weeks. Don't worry about your food or drink and clothing and shelter and transportation. These things are the things that dominate the thought patterns of those that are unbelievers, those that are not trying to walk by faith. Your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Should be one of the most comforting verses that you could hear, is your Heavenly Father already knows whatever it is you need. And then he says, we talked about this last week, seek the kingdom of God above all else, is the idea that we would seek to let God rule and have control over our lives. That's the idea of the kingdom, that we would seek that God would rule and have control over our lives, and it said, and live righteously. And if you do that, if you strive to live righteously, if you strive to live a pure life, if you strive to live an obedient life, then what ends up happening, he says, he will give you everything you need. And then it's like he gets done with, so seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And then he says, oh yeah, one more thought. And he gives a postscript, and it's this idea, don't worry about tomorrow. And that might be one of the hardest verses and the hardest things to do in all of the scripture. You know, what we've covered so far, we've covered subjects like lust, we've covered subjects like lying, we've covered subjects like greed, we've covered subjects, even the subject of forgiveness we've covered so far in this Sermon on the Mount. But I don't know that there's a harder one. I think that worry and unforgiveness or forgiving kind of have to have an arm wrestle over which one's the hardest to do. Because if you think about in your own life, and I think about my life, if there's two things that would be, you know, kind of top in the wrestles of life, it would be worry and trying to figure out how to forgive someone. Now, you might have some others in there, but for me, those oftentimes are the top two. It's easier for me to tell the truth sometimes than it is to forgive someone. It's easier for me to not worry about greed than it is to worry. Is everybody with me? I mean, it's like those are some of the hardest things to do, is those two ideas of worry and forgiveness. And so I'm not sure, you know, which gets the top, but it seems like it's almost an insurmountable goal to not worry about tomorrow. It's almost like, I guess I shared it with a church last Sunday night, group of pastors up in Anacortes. But it's almost like if you've watched anything over the last year, if you're a track and field nut like I am, is the world pole vault record has been broken like 7 times by the same guy. He's broke his own record, just jump after jump after jump. And it's unbelievable. He's jumping over 20 feet. So that's like halfway between the top. Just look at one of the backboards. That's halfway between the top of one of those backboards and the ceiling. He's jumping that high with a pole vault pole. And you go, how do you do that? Well, that's exactly the feeling I get when I think about worry. How do you not worry? How in the world does that happen? How can that be done to not worry? And he says, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have enough of its own, to have its own worries. So it's like, okay, and here's where we're at, is we're in today, but we're worried about tomorrow. And it's like we're trying to catch tomorrow. You know, I was thinking about it, it's like when you were a little kid, maybe you were trying to catch grasshoppers. You know, there's that grasshopper, and you know, you just get bent down to grab the grasshopper, and boom, and the grasshoppers jump 6 feet away. You know, in our yard, we've got lots of frogs in our yard, and my grandkids, we wander around out in the thing, and it's like, you just get there and just about grab the frog, boom, it's jumped away, and they're like chasing it, just over. That's kind of what this is about, this worry thing, is you just, you know, you're in today, but you're trying to reach for tomorrow, and right when you just about get to tomorrow, to catch tomorrow, it's now today, and tomorrow's there. I mean, it's just how it works. And Jesus says, you know what, today has enough of its own worry that don't need to worry about tomorrow. And the reality, we've talked about it, is that we cannot solve our financial issues by worrying. If we could solve our financial problems by worrying, we would have all of our financial problems already solved. Right? Or if we could solve our housing or clothing or work or whatever it happens to be, is if we could solve them all by worrying, they would have all been solved and we could stop worrying. But worrying doesn't solve them. Worrying doesn't even help us solve them. It's this elusive thing that oftentimes is just, you know, we're trying to reach for something that's outside of our reach, and then it hops away on us. And there's something very real, because even though we know this, I mean, we all know, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. We all know this. But we still worry. But we still worry. And, you know, there's something very real about worrying, that worrying about tomorrow robs us from today. You know, people talk about living in the moment. And sometimes we're so concerned about tomorrow that we totally miss out on what are the opportunities today, or we miss out on what God's trying to do with us today, or we miss out on what God might want to say to us today, because we're so wrapped up in kind of, what about tomorrow? All the thoughts about tomorrow. And that's part of where Jesus is talking about, is to not worry about tomorrow, because it's got enough. Today has enough to fill you up. And worry is that... you know, is that whole thought pattern is, could it be? Could it be? Could something happen? Could and we get fixated on could be, and we miss out on what is. And I think that's part of why Jesus kind of PS's this thing and goes, no, you know what? Let me give you one more thought. Is worry about today. You know, concentrate on today, because if you concentrate on tomorrow, you miss today. So what does it mean to not worry about tomorrow? What does it mean? Does it mean that planning is wrong? Does it mean that we're, what does it mean and what does it say about living for today? Or what does God have for me today? It's those kinds of questions. And here's the reality. Here's the reality about worry. Is I worry about tomorrow, I don't worry about yesterday. You know, yesterday is a guilt and regret emotion. That looking back, The only time that I drag the regret and guilt of yesterday into my worries about tomorrow is if I'm worried about the, I did something here, I regret it, and like, and then I'm worried, are the consequences of this going to get carried over and come to here? And so sometimes we're living in the past, we're living back here because of the things we did, but we're not really living back there with the regret and guilt because we drag that regret and guilt into the future where we're worried about, am I going to pay a price for this? Everybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's what we do. Like, oh, man, I went through this spell in my life where I just, I drank too much, let's say, or whatever it happens to be. But I'm stopped. I've got that under control now. But I drag it over here into the future as I start to get older, wondering, what's this going to play out in my health? Or I overspent back here, got myself into debt, and now I'm trying to figure out how to get out of debt, and I go through all the scenarios regarding that, but what I do is I drag it into the future, and am I going to be able to do it? Does everybody get what I'm talking about? That's where, but worry is a future-oriented thing. It's not a past-oriented thing. It's a future. It's something that we're looking at down the road. And he says, you don't need to worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will have enough of its own. And it comes right after the line, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's like God saying, you know what? I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. Just let me take care of you today. And then when we get to tomorrow, don't worry about tomorrow because I'll take care of you today. And when we get to tomorrow, don't worry about tomorrow because I'll take care of you. And he's just trying to remind us, he will take care of us if we're following the conditions. And this whole idea about worrying about tomorrow is not new with Jesus. It's not new with Jesus. Matter of fact, let me just walk you, whether you have some scriptural background or not, let me walk you through. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they're wandering through the wilderness, and God spoke to them about providing for them. And he said, I'm going to provide bread for you, because they're worried about water, they're worried about bread, they're worried about meat. He says, I'll provide for you. And he was going to provide this thing that's called manna. And it was like, we don't really know what it is. It's like, that's what manna means. What is this stuff? anyway, I could tell all kinds of stories about that. But what is this stuff? And God said this. He said, I'm going to provide this for you every day. And go out on the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. And on the sixth day, collect enough for the seventh day. And because I'm not going to provide it on the seventh day, I want you to trust me for it. I'm going to take care of you, and I want you to trust me for it. So the manna appears, and some people go out, and they gather just enough for that day. Except for a bunch of them were worried about the future, and they collected enough for that day and the next day. Because God's provided today. He said he was going to do this thing, and he provided for today. But what if he doesn't? That's the question of worry. But what if? Right? That's the question. What if? So I gather enough for today and tomorrow, because what if God doesn't provide, then I need to have enough for tomorrow. And the people that gathered enough for the first day and the second day, what happened to what they gathered for the second day? It rotted, and it smelled, and it had maggots in it. Yesterday I was driving with my granddaughter, took her to a ballet, and we were driving home, and there was a dead possum on the road, and then there was another dead possum, and she said, you know what I hate? Dead animals on the road don't bother me, but she said, I hate maggots. Thinking, that's a funny thing for a 10-year-old or 11-year-old to say, like, I hate maggots. And then she started describing these maggots and friends that don't know about maggots. And so she was real fixated on maggots, even though, she hates maggots. But that's what ended up happening. They gathered enough for the day, and they gathered enough for the next day. And those that gathered, because they were worried, what if God doesn't provide? What happened to what they worried about was it turned into maggots. Started rotting and turned into maggots. And so God said, you know what? And he scolded them for it. He said, now I'm telling you, collect on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 day. Don't collect on the 7th. I'm going to take care of you. But God also instructed them and said, only work the ground on year 1, year 2, year 3, year 4, year 5, and year 6, and don't work the ground on year 7. Okay, because I want you to trust me. I'm going to take care of you. Okay, so and here's what it says about that, the ground. He says, if you want to live securely in the land, now, who would not want to live securely in the land? I mean, the reason we're worrying about tomorrow is because we want to live securely in the land, right? I mean, that's why we're worried about tomorrow. If we weren't worried about living securely in the land, we wouldn't worry about tomorrow. We just go, hey, whatever happens, happens. You know, that's the way it goes. But because we want to live securely in the land, we worry about tomorrow. Here's what he says. He says, if you want to live securely in the land, follow my decrees and obey my regulations. Then the land will yield large crops, and you will eat your own fill and live securely in it. But you might ask, what will we eat during the 7th year, since we are not allowed to plant or harvest crops that year? Be assured that I will send my blessing on you for in the 6th year, so the land will produce a crop large enough for 3 years. Because year 6 you'll have it. He says, when you plant your fields in the 8th year, you will still be eating the large crop from the 6th year. He's saying, you know what? Don't worry about the future. Plant in year 1, plant in year 2, plant in year 6, and I will give you such a harvest from year 6. If you'll do what I'm telling you to do, if you will follow me, if you will trust me, if you'll let me take care of you, I will give you so much in the 6th year that you'll eat it in the 6th year, you'll eat it in the 7th year, and you'll be eating it clear up in the 8th year until the harvest of the 8th year comes. Everybody get the picture? And what he's saying is, if you'll seek the kingdom of God and seek to live righteously, if you'll seek to live obedient to me, you don't have to worry about year 7 and year 8, because I'm going to take care of year 7 and 8. You don't have to worry about day 7, because I'll take care of day 7 for you. I'll take care of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I'll take care of 7 for you. I'll take care of all of that. And so he says, so you don't need to worry about tomorrow. And here's the line again. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now, that's where we always get confused. I'm not going to spend time on it, but that's where we can get confused as to what we need versus what we want. Right? And we slip once into needs, and then we get all confused and worry, and God didn't provide, and now I'm mad at God because God doesn't answer. He doesn't do what he says he's going to do. Anyway, I'm not going to go down that road. That's a whole other subject, but we got to get through the Sermon on the Mount. So, otherwise I could talk about that. God's promises to care for us should direct our attitudes. Okay? Now, let me talk about a couple of attitudes here. Because some people over the years have grabbed a hold of this idea that God's going to take care of me, and so I don't need to worry, so I can live however I want to live attitude. Okay, because God promises he's going to take care of me. The preacher said God's going to take care of me, and so then I can live however I want to live attitude, and that was addressed, has been addressed in the scriptures. In the book of Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, God rebuked through Isaiah the prophet, that using this line, and he said, where the attitude being that, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we're going to die. So let's just party today, because we party now, and we don't need to worry about tomorrow. Everything's good. God's going to take care of us. He promised he'd take care of us. So let's just party. Paul addressed the same thing after Jesus left the planet, and he was talking to the church in Corinth. He said, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. The same idea is, you know what? God's going to take care of us. I don't need to worry about anything. I don't need to be concerned about anything. Let's just do it our own way. Let's party. Or Jesus talked about it in a story he told about a man who didn't think about his eternal future. He wasn't concerned about his eternal future. And here's what it says. He says, the man, so he's got the story. If you're not familiar with the story, this man's a farmer. He's got all kinds of crops, and his crops are so blessed that he has to build bigger barns to put more grain away, more food away. And so he does that so that he, you know, can take care of himself with no thought about anybody else and no thought about eternity. And then, so the man says, I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat and drink and be merry. And if you know the story, what did Jesus say to that man? He said, you fool, because tonight your life will be taken from you. Tonight you're going to get snuffed out, is what he said. See, the attitude that, because God's going to take care of me, it cannot slip into an attitude that I can just live however I want to live and God's going to take care of me. Because it goes back to the verse before, seek first God's rule and his control in my life and seek to live righteously. Well, what does that mean? You know what it means to live righteously. You know what things in your life are not, the majority of them. There can be nuances, but the majority of things, you know what it means. You know, tell the truth, don't lust, sleep with your wife and only your wife, and don't steal stuff that doesn't belong. You know what it means to live righteous. Okay, we don't need to go into a whole dialogue of that. But for some people, even in the church, and we see it across the, I'll just pick on the American church, we see it in the American church, just the idea that God's going to take care of me. He told me not to worry, so I can just live however I want to live. I can treat people however I want to treat people. I can, whatever it happens to be, that's not the promise of God. And that's taking the don't worry attitude and slipping it into this attitude where I can just live, you know, however I want to live. And that's a misuse of the idea. Another one, another one that can slip into is then it's almost the opposite, is, well, I shouldn't plan. If I'm not supposed to worry, maybe I shouldn't plan. You know, is it wrong somehow to plan? Because we get confused as to, it does, when he says don't worry about tomorrow, he's not saying don't plan for tomorrow. He's saying don't let this thing, this concern about tomorrow, be the thing that starts to control every part of your life, to send you into panic. I mean, the scriptures talk about giving thought to tomorrow. So here's one where Jesus is talking about, don't let your, don't let your planning turn into fear. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must by comparison hate everyone else, your father and your mother, your wife and children, your brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. If you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until, here's what he says about being his disciple. Don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin a construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before you running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. When we first moved here, and those of you that have been here longer than us, when you drove up to Coopville and you went to the Port Townsend Ferry, along the beachfront there, some of you will remember this, there was a house that sat there for years that was just a shell, is all it was. And I always thought of this verse when I drove by there. Here's this house that somebody started. It was somebody's dream, but they didn't count the cost. And there it sat. I don't know all the circumstances, but that's the picture. So he's not saying don't worry, don't plan for tomorrow. Don't count the cost. Don't think about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next year, but don't let it become the thing that consumes you. That's what he's saying. And he goes on, or would you go to war against another king without first sitting down with the counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss the terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. God is not telling his kids to not plan, to not think about tomorrow. He's saying, don't let it be the thing that consumes you. Don't let it be the thing that grabs a hold of you. And that, you know, it's like, you know, you can go from planning, you can go from planning and thinking about tomorrow to all of a sudden you fall into this trap door. And next thing you know, it's fear and it's anxiety and it's sleeplessness and it's, you know, gut aches and it's digestion problems and it's, you know, wake up in the middle of the night, can't go back to sleep. And, you know, I mean, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about don't think about tomorrow or what tomorrow would happen to be. Matter of fact, the scriptures have a lot to say about planning for tomorrow. We go through the book of Proverbs and, you know, the scriptures are don't say don't plan. Here's another pitfall. Some people say, I'm not a worrier, I'm a doer. I'm not a worrier, I'm a doer. Or one of the ways the scripture would look at this is a self-assured attitude. Okay, he says don't worry. That doesn't mean to get cocky. That doesn't mean to get arrogant. That doesn't mean to have this attitude that, again, kind of an attitude that I'm in control. You know, somehow I'm in control of my life. That's not what it's talking about here. Okay, so James said it this way, Jesus' brother. He said, look here, you who say today or tomorrow, we are going to the certain town and we'll stay there a year, we'll do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, he says this, otherwise, you're boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. See, so we're not supposed to worry about tomorrow. We are supposed to plan for tomorrow, but we're not supposed to think that tomorrow is all up to us and all about what we're going to do and what we have planned and what we've determined, because you don't even know that you will wake up tomorrow morning. Everybody get that picture? That's what he's talking about. Again, it comes back to this idea, whose hands is my life in? My life is in Jesus' hands. And he says, if you follow me and you obey me, you live the way I instruct you, I'll take care of you. So let me give you two coaching points. So okay, Matt. So I'm not supposed to be living today, but planning for tomorrow and then crying to grab tomorrow because tomorrow's going to jump away and then I don't have a hold of tomorrow. I understand that. I'm also supposed to not neglect planning and thinking about tomorrow. I'm just not supposed to let tomorrow and all that tomorrow could bring control my life, be this thing that sends me into a panic. And some people get so panicked that they get paralyzed by tomorrow. So what do we do, and how do we do that? Well, one of them goes back to Matthew 6:33. Let God seek. That word seek we talked about last week, is search for it, look for it, long for it, try and grab it, go after it, that God's rule and God's control would be the captivating thing in my life. If you do that, if that's the focal point of your life, instead of tomorrow, you will have less worry about tomorrow because you'll be focused on letting him have control today. Everybody with me? The problem is we lose sight of that. I want him to have control. I want him to have mastery, and I want to live righteously. We lose sight of that, and because we spend this time focusing over there. So the first part of it is grab a hold of my thought life, grab a hold of my focus life, and I want God to rule. I want God to reign. I want God to control. I want God to do his work in my life, and I want to live obedient to him. Put that there, worry will be reduced. The second idea comes down to prayer. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. He said, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. I mean, those of us that are parents, you got all kinds of things to worry about regarding your kids. And it doesn't matter whether they're little kids, they're a little bigger kids, they're too big for their britches kids, or they become adult kids. As a parent, you got plenty to worry about with regarding your kids. But instead of worrying about your kids, pray for them. Jesus, I tell people this all the time, Jesus cares more about your kids than you will ever care about your kids. He does. He cares way more about them than you ever, ever will. And sometimes people go, yeah, but I haven't been a very good parent. You know what? Even the most perfect parent is not promised to have perfect kids. God was the perfect parent, gave his kids everything they needed, everything that was provided for them in the garden. God was honest all the time. He knew, I mean, everything. God, there was no perfect, never been a more perfect parent than God, because he was the perfect parent. And Adam and Eve gave God the finger and said, thanks, but no thanks. Right? So Paul says, here's the solution. You can stop worrying about your kids, and part of not stopping worrying about your kids and trying to control everything, like especially thinking of adult kids, to control everything about your adult kids' lives, stop worrying about them and start praying for them. That's what Paul says. He says, don't worry about all these things, but pray about all these things. And then it goes on and says, and tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. This is some of the greatest promises in the scriptures. And I know I say that a lot because there's a lot of great promises in the scriptures. But here's what he says. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't worry, but make prayer. Just start praying about all those things. And then it says his peace is going to come, and his peace that surpasses, the NIV says, surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that's what we want. If God's peace that surpasses all understanding is guarding our hearts and minds, that leaves no room for worry. Can leave room for planning. Can leave room for thinking. But it leaves no room for worry. Amen? Let's stand together. Lord, thank you that you know each one of us. You know the things we worry about. You know those of us that are feel like we got worry passed down from our parents and from our family of origin. Sometimes I think I'm a professional worrier. So I'm talking as much to me as I am to anyone else today, whether in the room or online. Lord, we want to be people who can experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. So God, begin to focus us on the kingdom and righteous living and to take up prayer for our kids, kids who live local, kids who live distance, our grandkids, some in the room, great-grandkids, some in the room that are worried about their parents. Father, teach us. Teach us how to focus on you and your kingdom, and teach us how to pray. Lord, we don't want to be people who worry. We want to be people who live in the peace that you offer. So do that work inside of us. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do. Minister. Minister, minister, minister. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, come on up, Bill.
This is just a quick word. I wasn't sure how it fit or if it fit this morning, but anyway, this was a great word. We need to hear that regularly. But we provide opportunity. You know, you weren't designed to live life by yourself in a body of Christ, right? And we need one another. And so we provide opportunity here to come and share. Sometimes it takes two, somebody to agree with you in the struggles you're having, whether it's health or financial or social studies or social situations or dealing with your kids. So I want to just encourage you to take advantage of some folks that agree with you, and maybe turn to the person next to you and just share. Say, hey, listen, this is really working on me. Could you pray with me? So the Bible says, if two of you will agree on earth as touching anything, it'll be done of my Father which is in heaven. Thank you.
Why every week we have part of our leadership team up here ready to pray. We don't want you to leave here if you came hoping someone would pray with you. Let them pray with you. Well, God bless you. Have a great day. Again, they're up here. They're ready to pray. God bless you. Have a great day. Happy Thanksgiving. Eat a bunch of turkey, okay? God bless you.